I don't watch much television, but one of the shows that I really enjoy is Silicon Valley. Since I do a podcast about technology, you can infer that I have an affinity for technology topics. So yeah, I think the show Silicon Valley is really funny, and I appreciate it as a parody. As a parody. But sometimes that parody hits a little too close to reality. This week, Uber CEO Travis Kalanick was forcibly removed from his leadership position at the company. Since the Kalanick departure announcement, there's been a series of articles discussing the toxic culture of Uber. But I had to go back and really find all of the articles from the last 6 months to really get a full summary of how chaotic their company culture is. So this week, we are talking about Uber, we are talking about Travis Kalanick, and I am going to need a drink after this. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 77. Before we get to this week's podcast, I'm adding this note post-production. Just a fair warning, this week's episode covers some adult topics or sensitive topics, including the mistreatment of women. So if you happen to be listening with a child, I don't know why a child would want to listen to Sourcecast. Just a heads up that some somewhat uncomfortable material will be brought up. Since we did a whole episode on Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods, I do not have any acquisitions to discuss this week. So hit up your Spotify to listen to the Muzak version of The Girl from Ipanema on your own free time. So Uber is in need of a new CEO, chief financial officer, and about a half a dozen other titles that Travis Kalanick occupied within the company. So let's summarize what happened to Kalanick, and then we'll work our way back to the crazy stories that have been released about what was happening within Uber. Last week, Travis Kalanick announced that he was going on indefinite leave from Uber, due to both the toxic culture that has been reported and also because Travis Kalanick's mother had recently passed away in a boating accident. At the time, last week, the plan was for Travis to come back to the company at some point, reinvigorated and ready to take the reins once again. What was telling at the time was there wasn't an interim leader selected to run the company. Instead, Uber was to be run by a committee of 14 executives, including the chief technology officer, regional managers, and the heads of legal, product, operations, and other areas. In my 20 years of professional experience, I found that committees typically are very good at poking holes in situations and determining risk on a proposed plan or strategy, but at the end of the day, there really needs to be one person steering the ship. So again, as of last week, Uber was to be left in the hands of 14 different individuals. On Tuesday, it was announced that Kalanick would be stepping down from his role of CEO permanently, and this was caused by a revolt of the board of directors. That revolt was led by a former friend and backer of Travis Kalanick named Bill Gurley. Once Gurley successfully ousted Kalanick, he also stepped down from the board. I will also take this moment to point out that this is the third change to Uber's board. Another member of the board named David Bonderman had to be replaced after he made sexist remarks to a fellow board member who happened to be Arianna Huffington of the famed Huffington Post. So in summary, CEO Kalanick is out, the board member that forced him out resigned, and another random board member had to leave a few weeks ago due to inappropriate sexist comments to a famous journalist. Real smart. So what was happening at Uber that caused all of this chaos? Unfortunately, it's not just one thing. Let's start with Eric Alexander. Eric Alexander was a former top Uber executive that somehow obtained medical records of a woman who was raped during an Uber ride. The incident occurred in India, in New Delhi, and the woman was assaulted by an Uber driver on a Saturday night, and the driver was already awaiting trial for four other criminal charges. That gentleman ultimately went to prison for life. From what I've read, Alexander was under the impression that this rape actually didn't occur, and it was done by an Uber competitor in India, for bad press. So Alexander somehow managed to get this woman's medical record and passed it around the office to somehow, I guess, disprove that the rape actually occurred. At some point, someone in legal realized that this was happening, took the medical report, and destroyed it. But at that point, it had been passed around the entire office and ultimately resulted in 20 people being let go from their jobs. But initially, Alexander was not one of those 20 people. Eventually, all of this information hit the press, and Alexander was let go. In March of 2017, then-CEO Travis Kalanick decided to take an Uber somewhere. So he used his own service, got into a car, proceeded to have a conversation with the driver, which devolved into a fight about their payments. The driver had a dash cam and recorded the entire conversation, and Kalanick did not come off looking like a seasoned CEO. Let's just say that. He didn't look good. And now I'm going to share what I think is the most damning piece of evidence about why Uber's entire culture is toxic and needed a complete overhaul. In February of 2017, a former Uber employee named Susan Fowler wrote a blog post after she left the company describing her experience at Uber. And I'm just going to start reading direct quotes from her blog post. Before I start, I want to let you know that Susan Fowler recently published a best-selling book about system architecture. So this woman is not only a good engineer, she is a subject matter expert who wrote a best-selling book about this particular topic. So now I'll begin. Again, this is a direct quote from Susan Fowler's blog. After the first couple weeks of training, I chose to join the team that worked on my area of expertise. And this is where things started to get weird. On my first official day rotating on the new team, my new manager sent me a string of messages over company chat. He was in an open relationship, he said, and his girlfriend was having an easy time finding new partners, but he wasn't. He was trying to stay out of trouble at work, he said, but he couldn't help getting in trouble because he was looking for women to have sex with. It was so clearly out of line that I immediately took screenshots of these chat messages and reported him to HR. So this is a horrible situation, but it gets so much worse. Susan goes on to say, I expected that I would report him to HR, they would handle the situation appropriately, and then life would go on. Unfortunately, things played out quite a bit differently. When I reported the situation, I was told by both HR and upper management that even though this was clearly sexual harassment and he was propositioning me, it was the man's first-time offense, and that they would feel uncomfortable giving him anything other than a warning and a stern talking to. Upper management told me that he was a high performer, and they wouldn't feel comfortable punishing him for what was probably an innocent mistake on his part. I'm basically going to paraphrase this next part because I just don't want to read directly from her blog this entire podcast. They basically told her she had to leave the department and that team, or they couldn't protect her from that manager if he gave her a bad review, and he was almost guaranteed to give her a bad review. And Susan wanted to stay on the team because this was her direct area of expertise. Again, this is a woman who wrote a best-selling book about this particular topic that she was working for at Uber. Uber's HR said that this was a first-time offense, but as Susan Fowler started talking about this incident to other female coworkers, she came to find out that many of them had similar experiences with this exact individual. All of these women got together and filed a formal complaint that this had not, in fact, been the first time that this particular manager had done such a thing, and the HR department still said that they didn't have any records of him having more than one offense, even though it kept happening. Eventually, there were several women that left Fowler's department to the point where there was only like 6% of the department that was female. And then the manager started panicking because it would look bad for their demographics, so then they wouldn't let women leave and found all kinds of HR loopholes to prevent them from finding other positions within the company. As you can imagine, eventually Fowler had enough and left the company. Now let's pivot to Waymo's lawsuit with Uber over potential corporate espionage. So there was a gentleman named Anthony Levadowski, and he was a former Google self-driving project engineer who ultimately founded a company called Otto. Uber bought Otto, and Levadowski joined Uber. The long and short of the situation is that this guy had 5 disks of Google proprietary information that he tried to pass around to the executive board at Uber, including Travis Kalanick. To Kalanick's defense, it is reported that he said he did not want the information and that it should be destroyed. And at some point, Levadowski did communicate that the disks were destroyed, but who knows who looked at that proprietary information? Bad situation. So where does this leave Uber? Dozens of people have been fired for all kinds of shady reasons. Female engineers are fleeing because of a toxic culture. Even the board members are fleeing or being removed for all kinds of inappropriate behavior. Who's going to clean up this mess? The Wall Street Journal recently published an article stating that there are a few candidates. Apparently, the number one prospect is Keith Block, who is currently a president of Salesforce.com and a 26-year veteran of Oracle. Apparently, Mr. Block has a very strong operational background, and he's very ethical, tough, and people love him. Mr. Block is not the only Oracle person that is in the running. There is some talk that current co-CEO of Oracle, Safra Catz, is also a considered candidate. VMware CEO Pat Gelsinger is also said to be considered for the role. However, a VMware spokesperson stated that Mr. Gelsinger is deeply committed to his role at VMware. A couple of other names that have been bandied about is Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg, but she squashed that rumor, saying she's quite content at her current job. I've also seen former Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer be suggested for the role. I don't know about that one. She doesn't necessarily have the best momentum right now. And if I were her, I don't know if I would want to walk into another mess. So there we have a detailed breakdown of a company in complete freefall. Uber is a great idea. I really think that when people use the word disruption, I think it came directly from Uber and what they did to the taxicab industry. I don't think it's fair to lay all of Uber's problems on Travis Kalanick. There seems to be a systemic cultural issue in Silicon Valley that also greatly contributed to the problem of a toxic culture. However, as a CEO, the buck stops with him. As a result of one public crisis after another, do consumers want to still use Uber? There are now alternatives like Lyft. Honestly, I can't say that if I was really in need of transport, I would think twice about selecting an Uber ride. However, does their consistent lack of proper business process introduce risk in their driver pool? And it makes me consider and wonder if they had more stringent controls and a better run operation, if these issues would be sniffed out with the drivers ahead of time. Maybe I'll leave a poll in this week's episode to get some feedback. Do all of these negative situations happening with Uber impact your decision to use them when you're in need of a ride? And before we wrap up, I just wanted to let my listeners know that there is a new way to experience Sourcecast. Those of you who have Amazon's line of Echo products can now ask said Echo to play Sourcecast. All you have to do is say, "Alexa, play Sourcecast podcast," and the most recent episode will play. You can't get rid of me, people.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.